Good morning. I hope you've had a great time worshiping God and you've enjoyed yourself. And I was just excited to see that the campus was still there singing along, amen. So, we've talked a lot in the last month, we've just talked a lot about multi-generation. But we're going to switch gears this month to talk about finding your faith. I know you have faith, but let's talk about this a little bit more and in depth. Find your faith. You know, sometimes you're just stuck with life. It's not what you want it to be, and it's not moving, and it's not where it should be, but you're stuck. And sometimes you're doubtful. You feel like life is not adding up. Why is that? I know this of God, but this is not happening for me. That can happen to people. And sometimes it's you're just wondering, what is life all about? These circumstances can lead you to God, or they can lead you away from God. So when we talk about finding faith, it's about really connecting with God in a way that makes God real for you. Amen. Experiencing God. And not thinking about it. Just thinking about God and never coming to a place that God is real and He can change things that you don't know how to change them. So let's talk about that. I spent my time today in the book of Daniel, just talking a lot about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Those two characters are quite interesting, and you see how God walks through them, and you see how God brings different people to a different place of faith. So Daniel chapter 4, and our first point is find faith in crisis. This Daniel chapter 4. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor was returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Nebuchadnezzar was an embodiment of a narcissistic personality. If you read in chapter 1 and how he decides to get Daniel and his friends into the advisors group, and then you read how it comes to chapter 4, basically how he gets here is that he's been threatening people, if you cannot tell me what my dream is and tell me the meaning, I'm going to kill everyone. That's what he decided. And they beg him and beg him, please tell us your dream. He says, no, I'm killing everyone. Eventually, they go get Daniel because they're going to kill Daniel. But then Daniel is wise enough to deal with that well and brings back the story and comes and tells King Nebuchadnezzar that the tree that was growing was him and that God was going to cut that tree down and leave it in the stem, and that was him. And then, you know what happened? He was turned into an animal for a while. And then he comes to this place. He finds his faith after a crisis. A crisis can be that you've done so much. He was a great king. God was using him in different ways. But he was a difficult person to deal with. But he came to a crisis, a place where life was not making sense. He had all the authority, he had all the power, but finally, all that could not fill him and make him feel that life had purpose. So that's why he comes to this place. My advisors, nobles, sought out me out, and even after that, they went after him and restored him. And it says, and those who walk in pride, he's able to humble. So what's the crisis? That was his crisis. But what's your crisis in life today? Crisis come in the form of feeling empty despite accomplishments. That you can do so much in life, accomplish so much, and do everything you want to do, but still feel empty. That's when you need to find God. That is when you know that I've done everything. I've accomplished my dreams at age 30, at age 40, at 60, at 80. I've accomplished my dreams, but I feel empty. I need God, despite everything I set up to do. That is when you find faith. Because when you live for things that you can see, those things cannot fulfill you. They will only make you happy for about 10 days. The science side of it says right now that the way you, when we give you anything new, it only raises your happiness by 10%. Everything else is from within you. And that's why you got to go to God to find your faith. That happens. What about discouragement? You've been a Christian 10, 15, 30, 50 years, and you feel like life has not gone the way you expected. That can create discouragement. You did everything right, and you just feel like that can create discouragement. As a single person, that can create discouragement. I trusted God, but life is not where I wanted it to be. That can create discouragement. As married people, we can have discouragements coming out of things. Family issues. Life issues. If you don't find God, you walk away from God. That is when you find faith. What about you just seeking meaning? And some of you are here this morning, you're just seeking meaning to life. What is the meaning of life? I mean, when you sit around, and sometimes I get in this mode, I was sitting on the street, I was driving yesterday, and I sat around, and a gentleman pulled right next to me with loud music. It was so loud, my car was shaking. It was... Now, I was tempted to look at him and say, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Hold on. Before you go into the judgment mode, you need to understand what's going on." And I began to ask the question, what is the meaning of life when we've played loud music, driven new cars, and done everything we have to do? What is the meaning of life? Right there and then, for some reason, my brain began to go that direction. Well, shall we be defined with the new car, the latest music, and all that? No, and I had nothing against it. After he left, my body was given back to parity. I could breathe again. He was just having a good time. But the point I'm trying to put about is that you cannot find meaning in things created by man. You can only find meaning in God, who creates you and directs your purpose or your steps when you put yourself in there, in His hands. That happens when you begin to question deeply, why were you created? It is a question we are afraid to have a discussion with ourselves. Why? Because it conjures up feelings that make us take a responsibility that means life must change for a better way of living. But things must change from where we're sitting right now, and that means we've got to get the faith. Because you cannot change it without faith. That's why crises are good. They bring us to a place of faith. Crisis is not a punishment from God. Crisis is not God putting anyone down. It helps you find God. When I look at my life in crisis, I prayed more. I read my Bible. Not for God to take it away. To find my faith in that season. Secondly, faith in what God is doing. Let's talk about this. Sometimes we find faith in what God is doing, in the sense of, especially as a young Christian, you come to God and God is changing your life. You feel so excited because you see a new beginning. You're coming out of slavery to freedom. You feel God is working things out. All right? And that's a great place to be. But let's read here. Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of the staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. "Please taste us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water," Daniel said. "And the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your own decision in light of what you see." The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. When you have hope and you plan it and you go to God and God begins to unfold that plan, it's amazing. It's a great place to be because God is working. You can see that God, one is plus one is coming to two. You see that? That place builds your faith very quickly. And I think as young, as we come to God, as young Christians, that's what happens. And all of us can relate to that day when you became a disciple. You were happy. It was dynamic. It was changing because you began to have a structure where you didn't have structure. You began to have relationships where you didn't have relationships. You began to pray, to fast. And all of a sudden you began to quiet inside, to quiet mentally, and to feel peace that you've never experienced before. That was happening. Daniel's having the same thing. He's talking to the attendant, saying, "Test us," and the attendant is saying, "Yes, I can do that." Remember, he's a refugee. He has no rights. And yet, he is taking the chance and talking, and he's being listened to. At the end of 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of food and wine provided for others. I'm not sure if Daniel was very popular, but he changed the whole place. But let's talk about when whatever you're planning is making progress and is doing well and you're having a great time. What happens to most of us as Christians at that point is we think this is the formula that then will change everything. So then whenever we're stuck, we pray more, fast more, do more, and sometimes life experiences prove another way. What will you do? The initial victory in your Christian life can tempt you to have a formula of spiritual victory. So you get stuck at that level of just, but I prayed, but I read my Bible, but I fasted, I confessed. What's wrong? It's not a formula. That is what you, in the initial phase, you are experiencing that and change was happening and you're growing. But now life experiences will show you otherwise. You will do everything right and still things may not go as you planned. You'll parent your children right, and they'll never become disciples sometimes. It requires faith to keep going. You'll have a spouse that you did everything right, and things will not turn out the best way. You still need to have faith to be with God. You'll have pains of sickness, pains of other things. You can fast and pray, and that's not wrong. But if you think that that's a formula of taking it away, that is what makes you discouraged and gets you to a place of doubting God. It's not a formula. You get, initially, it's exciting. It's a great place to be. But that is a process of growth. We get stuck there. And we see everyone, we tell everyone, you've not prayed enough. You've not read enough. And you think that anyone that is struggling has not read enough, prayed enough. No. And so you walk around with this aspirin that you give for every disease. You have a pain, aching, aspirin. What do you need? Aspirin. It doesn't work like that. It's not an aspirin disease that you need to give for everything. That's what we do. We try to turn our relationship with God to a formula of how things are resolved. It's not a formula. Faith requires growth, continual growth, despite what life is doing to you. It is actually a place that gives you to be at peace that God knows what He's doing anyway. When you come to that place, you know that your faith is on a growth trajectory. But we get stuck at this place, the formula place, the early days. Say, I want to go back to the basics. Yeah, you can do that. But God is calling you to the bigger places now. Life experiences teach us that it's by God's grace we have victories. You see, that is a deep truth. That you're not here because I'm not here because I'm special or you're here. It's because by God's grace. that when you begin to understand that truth about your job, your children, your spouse, your single life, your campus life, you begin to live with a life of meaning and purpose. You give of yourself in a way that shows that truly this is of God. But when it's a formula, you cannot do that. Why? Because you keep going back to the formula. The truth be told is you begin to worship the formula, which is you pray more, you begin to read your Bible. You do that not to connect with God, to feel like I've done everything. Why aren't you listening to me? And God says, why can't we have a relationship with you? So this morning, I don't know where you're stuck, but I hope you can find your faith. That you can get away from the formula and begin to connect with God. It is this place that allows you to touch people's lives. It's this place that allows you to touch spouses. Even that are not the best, you'll touch them because of faith in God to change them. Not because they're changing. No, because you have faith that God can change that. It is this place that allows you to face trouble with confidence. Not because you see the problem moving, but because you know that God can move this problem. It is this place that allows you to live a life of conviction and patience and joy because you know that everything you experience is of God. Amen. Thirdly, finding faith in dark days. I got to tell you, everybody has a dark day. If you haven't hit some dark days, let me pray this morning that they're... You'll be in the desert someday, 40 years in the desert, walking around trying to figure out which way is the promised land. That happened to the Israelites. It happened to Moses. It happened to many people. You can be in the desert 40 days or many years trying to figure out what is God trying to do with my life. And we stop trying when we're in dark places. We stop giving of ourselves. We sometimes show up because of conscience, not because of conviction. Those are dark days. Dark days, we feel like nothing is going on in our lives. What's the point of being a Christian? We begin to ask that question. Daniel chapter 3, 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. This guy was, Nebuchadnezzar was a funny man. I mean, very narcissistic. He was praising God. Now look at what's going on again. He goes back and forth with it. But here's the deal. Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar that I will not worship your God, your majesty. Even if God doesn't save me, I'll rather go into the fire. This is a different place. Let's face it. The number one driving force of a human being is self-preservation. You see it in traffic. You see it everywhere. If you're trying to cut lanes, they're like, no, you can't come in. They don't want you to come in. Everywhere, people are trying to get ahead of each other. What is it? Self-preservation. An instinctual desire to be first, to win. It is what drives the human spirit without God. You see it in small things. And yet, Daniel turns it around and said, you know what? He could have told the king, he could have reminded the king, I can help you. He said, no. You throw me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Here's my question for you today. Do you trust God enough, even if the results don't match your expectation? I'm working on that. I'm not saying that I've been there already. I've been in places when I hoped that this turned out, and when it didn't turn out, my heart was crushed. It took some time to recover. Actually, years to recover. But those years are some of my best in hindsight. Not during the time. In the time, I hated the pain. I hated the feeling of depression. The feeling of why did this happen? God, why did you put me in this circumstance in the first place? That is the fear we face, to go inside and find out, what am I afraid of? Finding God requires that you deeply connect with Him and go deep into your fears and come out with God. The main reason why we remain stuck is because we will not have that conversation with God and with each other to go deep inside and come out, to accept that this is God and we can walk with this God on these issues. If we just got that down, some things would quickly move away. Our hearts will be different. Acceptance is powerful, but you have to give it to God, not to yourself. Acceptance to yourself is depressing, but with God, there's hope. There's hope. Dark days are characterized by scarcity, nothing happening in your life. You've not been fruitful for a long time and you're wondering, what happened? Trust God. Reach out to people as you go along. It's not a campaign. It's a relationship with God. God can help you meet someone who's open, right? Yeah, it's not a campaign. Just walk as you go around. Talk to people. God will lead you to open people every day. Look, read the book of Acts. They're going somewhere and something is happening. It can be scarcity with finances. Pray about that. Get the right. God will put the monies and the money will start coming together again. We'll get out of debt and start seeing some more money coming. Amen? You know, I mean, it can be, in compass, you may be going through a tough time just to get the money going. Trust God and get the discipline. Money will come your way eventually. Amen? Lack of vision. You may just lack vision totally. When people lack vision, they live for their stomach. It's all about food. Self-preservation. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong in eating. But what I mean by that, it's a metaphor to say that it's very fleeting, whatever you live for. It's here, now it's gone. It's here, now it's gone. That's what I mean when I say you live for your stomach. Does that make sense? And I want you to understand that when you lack vision, that can happen. You don't say, God, use me. You don't say, God, show me. You don't ask that question. You're afraid to ask that question. You want to sit in the crowd. Let me just blend in. What does God want to do with your life? Why are you holding back on those talents that God has given you? What about finding that and letting God use that for the community, for the people around you? You know, I remember how I was afraid to come in the ministry. I was so afraid. Because I knew, I'm not sure I want to do this, but I try to doge and all. But, you know, God has a way of finding you. No matter how you go different ways, He's going to find you. I remember coming in the ministry and says, okay, 6 months, that's all for. Let's try 6 months and see what happens. Well, 6 months later, we're still here. If you follow the story. Don't be afraid to have a vision. Put it in God. Let God help you with that. What about pain of the soul? Church. The reason sometimes you're stuck is because you're not letting go of your pain. We have pain of the soul. You say, how do you let it go? Sometimes you just need to say, I accept and I need to start a new chapter. That's all. Because you're stuck and I wish it turned out like this, I wish it turned out like that. And God is saying, if you just let go, I can start showing you where we're going with this. So we got to let go of the pain of the soul. And for some of us, we've got to say, I need to have this conversation. I need to let go of this stuff. Or I need just to start praying about it and talking and getting on with it. But keeping pain of the soul holds you in the same place forever. You can sit there for a long time. Sometimes you can die in this place. You can die in this place. I know the difference. I remember how I was as a 13-year-old boy and 12-year-old boy and 14. My goodness, you're an innocent, it's a vibrant life, you're just having a good time, and then 14 comes and sin starts creeping in your life. It doesn't feel the same again. 16 and sin's creeping in your life, it doesn't feel the same again. 17 and sin is coming and it doesn't seem the same again. 18 and you wonder, is there any purpose in life? And then I get saved at 21. And I felt like God gave me a new lease of life. a brand new life. And I know how that feeling is. So I know when I'm losing it and I'm dying inside. I know when I'm losing that. I know how my eyes look like. I know the energy curry. I know I'm dying inside. Something is wrong. And some of you know it, but you don't want to confront it. It's the pain of the soul. It needs to go to God. It needs to go to a place of scripture, a place of faith, a place of help, a place of conversation, and joy must come back. The fruits of the Spirit this morning we had in the class, right? These are dark days. When you're in dark places, you go to God. That's what Daniel did. He went to God. He talked about it. Talk to people. Go to God. Get help. Get in the scriptures. That's when the turning around happens. That is why I kept telling us that we got to connect with God first, the greatest commandment, and then with one another. This change happens, and we bring more people to Christ. Amen? In finishing, maturing in our faith. Not in the context of growing older, just maturing. Like wine, it gets better, it grows older and older and older. Does that make sense? Maturing. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor was returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles, I think I'm repeating this again, but in a different aspect. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. What happened to him? This time, he came back to God, to his senses. First, he was taken out, came back to his senses. God began walking with him. The way we think that if something wrong happens, that's the end of us. Something wrong happens to help you become a better person. It's part of the pruning. Does that make sense? It's part of the pruning. So the problem we have as a society is we want to be perfect. We don't allow God to prune us. We want to be perfect all the time. Hardly people want to show any weakness. Hardly. I don't know why that is. We've got to learn to be vulnerable. Feel safe with the people that can help you so that you can grow again. You see, even if I act perfect, God knows I am not. Worse off, I know I am not and I'm acting it. You know what happens? That's a burden. I don't want to carry that burden. That's way too much burden. So he understands it very quickly. Now I and Nebuchadnezzar praise and exalt the glory and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. I think that our biggest pride in society today is perfection. We walk on perfection. You know, the early days of how I kept my car was I always cleaned it so much. The dashboard was shiny. I mean, the place was clean. The music was just right. The rims were well cleaned. The paint was just right, and I would get a ding. Ah! Who touched my car? Now, I don't say that, but I'm feeling like that inside. Remember, I'm a Christian. I'm thinking, no. But instead, I'm thinking, who touched my car? And it would always happen whenever I'd put something new on it, it'll get a ding again. Here we go. Now, I'm not going to be so superstitious about making things clean and all that, but here's the deal. If you allow that to be your standard of perfection, each time something touches your car, you fall apart. I'd rather go to God for that. I'm not saying, amen, keep the car clean. Hey, that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Shine it up, but don't let that pull on your heart. Let God pull on your heart. Not the car, not the stereo, not the carpet, not the things in the house. No, let God be the one that pulls on your heart. We got all these things outside that just pull on our hearts. You're like, it's just a car. That's all. That's it. It takes you from point A to point B. You need it, but it's just a car. This is what happened to him. He was beginning to mature in his faith. When you mature in your faith, material things, difficult things begin to less and less affect you. I didn't say they will not affect you. Less and less affect you, and you begin to have more perspective in life. You see God more and less of those things. Here's where we end. Faith includes noticing the mess, the emptiness, and the discomfort, and letting it be there until some light returns. We're in a hurry with discomfort. We don't let discomfort teach us the depth of truth on God. We're in a hurry with messes. We don't let that mess teach us what God is. I went through this conflict with relationships with people I loved dearly for about 7 years back or 6 years back. And in that moment, I had wanted to feel better overnight. But the more I tried, the more I felt like, oh, that was a huge letdown. The more I tried, the more I felt like, wow, that's a huge betrayal, man. The more I tried, the more I felt like, why am I not just accepting what happened? It took me about 4 years to come out of that. So you ask, Steve, what were you doing the rest of the years? I was praying and talking and sometimes making jokes of my situation and sometimes just telling my wife, life is challenging, man. I never knew I would get this tired about life. Just tired. You're not wanting to die, don't get me wrong, but you're just tired. You're like, man, for how long? Not long, but it's been 2 years already. I know what some of you are in that situation right now. You've been stuck for a while. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 years. I was in that situation for about 8 years. What were you doing? Well, we always want to run away from difficult things. But I'm not sure everything is about running away unless it's abusive. You have to ask yourself some things that God is trying to teach you things. So this morning, it's a beginning of a subject, so I don't want to keep going forever. But I hope you can find faith. God bless you.